Is it okay to have dead silence just for a few seconds? Dead air? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Abyss. Thank you for stepping inside. My name is Eric Gates, and here we are live from Universal Halloween Horror Nights 18. And I'm like just all of Twitter. I swear. I'm sitting here looking at Terminator in the face. I've got scare zones going on outside. I've got Michael Brody. And we also in the house tonight, we have Mr. Mike Aiello. Yeah. Who's not leering at me like he wants to kick my butt.
He's friendly.
I don't leer well.
Don't worry about him, see.
Sure you do.
And barring any technical difficulties, we are going to have a great show tonight. We're here, again, like we said, live at Halloween Horror Nights. We are taking your calls. We are chatting horror and all kinds of good fun with the whole crew here. Woohoo!
So cool.
So cool.
So good. How's the cake? How's the cake or pie?
Pie.
So good.
So good.
Tasted like
strawberry. So anyway.
Pie?
If you do want to call in, we do have, and I'm stepping back and forth.
Hello, how you doing?
You can call in at 347-237-5266. That is the number to call and speak with the mics and talk any and all things Halloween Horror Nights. And we're going to jump right into it. We're just going to talk. Just
jump into the water spot.
Splash.
The water spot. Oh, there he is.
There I am.
Jumped out.
Sorry,
he's with us?
I'm good.
You're good? You are very good.
The medicine.
So anyway, just a few weeks left for Halloween Horror Nights. If you haven't been, shame on you.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
It's.
If you have been, come back.
Again.
Again and again.
Again, this is actually my fourth time here tonight. So.
Ooh.
What you're looking at out there is all I've seen yet. I've been here about an hour.
Dude, this is radio. They can't see what you're pointing at.
Right.
Well,
of course, I'm pointing over there.
One of the scare zones. One of the six scare zones.
Oh.
Universal Orlando, Halloween Horror Nights, 18, 23 Nights of Terror.
Damn, he's smooth.
HalloweenHorrorNights.com. We've got that out of the way there, right?
There we go. There it is.
One of the six scare zones, eight houses, three shows, and a partridge and a bloody tree.
Exactly.
God, I love this place.
And it loves you.
Beer.
Well, actually, it really does.
Until I turn around and then wants to kill me.
Bad mouth of it behind his back.
So anyway, the big icon this year is Bloody Mary. Everybody knows all about Bloody Mary by now. If they don't, then they've been living under a rock.
And I think it's great that you guys finally decided to theme a Halloween Horror Nights after a mixed drink. I've been waiting for that for many years, and finally,
what
happened.
There were a couple of people when we said Bloody Mary that were very much like, you mean the drink? And we're like, no, we're like, oh, the other thing. Oh,
those would be the alcoholics.
I agree.
I mentioned to a friend of mine.
Kamikaze, that didn't
I'm all about it.
Shooter.
The icon's going to be Harvey Wallbanger.
I know there's lots of people just pointing everywhere. So yeah, the crowds are just absolutely fantastic here tonight. Just people just pouring through the scare zones. We've got really a really good view of everything going on and happening. Just first of all, I got to say, since I've been here four times, great event, guys.
Thank you.
Clearly your best year Yes, Mr. Roddy, even you, because I love you so much.
No, you should probably let people know what's going on about our
channel. Yeah. So we come to the media event, and I walk up to him, and because our last incarnation of the show was IOA Central Radio, Mike Aiello was the last guest on the show.
I was.
And I had never met both of you guys at once before.
Right.
And I was just completely just fanboy of Twitter. And I just said, man, I love you guys. And I turned to Aiello, man, I really love you, man.
He hugs really hard.
He does.
He's got quite a grip.
I would know. He really didn't hug me. He only hugged
bones.
You.
So he just the elbows and the ribs.
Oh, God's ready.
So up to this point, Eric's been dead to me. But now he's back.
Good. I'm so happy I'm back to you.
Right.
But we're going to go to the phone lines because, yes, for a change, we actually have some callers on the line.
Wow, awesome.
People like to talk to us? People that want to talk to us.
No, they want to talk to them. We're just here.
No, yeah, they don't want to talk to us. They want to talk to the mics.
My ego has dropped.
Hi, hello. Your mom's coming in tonight, right?
My mom's coming tomorrow night. Mom and my grandma are coming tomorrow night to the event. They've never been before. And my grandma's going to go into some of the houses, hopefully. And we'll see what happens with that.
I'm going to be saying, what's
awesome.
Wrong with you, boy?
I really want to tell you guys this. I broke the cardinal rule this year.
I read your report there on the
site.
Oh,
my God.
You brought your kids.
I brought my kids.
Which is cool.
Well, it is to a degree. You have to judge for yourself when your kids are ready.
Yeah.
One was ready, one was not. One acted ready, the other did not. And it was completely misjudged. We had the one just cowering in fear, and the other one who we thought was going to cower in fear just standing up and saying, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever.
How old are your kids?
18 and 21.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. 18 and 21.
How old are your kids?
7 and 11.
And who did well and who didn't?
The 11-year-old did extremely well. The 7-year-old, of course, did not.
Yeah, that's.
See, I got the exact opposite dynamic happening in my house.
Do you?
They haven't come to the event because my wife is smart and won't let me bring them. But the younger one, who's 6, almost 7, knows that the older one, who is 9, is afraid of Bloody Mary. So every so often, I'll just be sitting at home and I'll hear them in the other room, and the younger one will say, "How do you know Bloody Mary didn't follow Daddy home tonight?" And the other one's like, stop it. He's like, no, really. It could have followed her home, followed Daddy home. It's like, no, she's not real. Yeah, she is. She's real. So the younger one's taken after me.
And I have a 3-year-old. Every time the commercial comes on, he goes, look, Dada, Bloody Mary. She's scary.
And all of them, the 3-year-old, the 6-year-old, and the 9-year-old, are in the event. We had them do voiceovers. So when you hear the little kids doing the nursery rhymes. And
in Schoolhouse,
yeah.
In that whole pumpkin area.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear Bloody Mary or any of the laughter, those are our kids.
And they're not even aware how cool it is.
Yeah.
Doing that, you know.
Oh, no, they were, because they went to school the next day, and we're like, guess what we did.
My son, of course, had no idea. But I did have him say some of the dialogue from Pet Sematary.
Oh, that's chilling,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was.
First I play with Mommy, then I play with Daddy. Now I'm going to play with you.
Yeah, I've got a little soundbite of that I can play anytime I want. It's fun.
Oh, that is awesome. I'd love to hear that sometime. So. But, no, yeah, absolutely. You have to really judge with your kids. And honestly, the 7-year-old was the one that was pushing for it. She really wanted to come. And the next day, she was scared to death. Her and I spent the rest of the evening in City Walk. And the next day she gets up, say, Dad, can we go see Bloody Mary again? But it scares you. Yeah, but I don't want to see her again. Please. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to use your own judgment. And obviously it's a PG-13 event. But I mean, some kids, there are some kids that just kind of get it at a younger age too. But there's others that don't.
Right. And without further ado, let's go to some phone calls. We're going to go to the 200. Okay, that can't be right.
200. It's over 200.
We're the 300, but 100 fell off the cliff.
And you're on the air. What's going on? What's your name?
Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great. Never better, boss. You got some questions for us?
Yes. Is this Michael Roddy?
No, it's Michael Roddy. But Roddy's here, too. Now, how are you? It's me and Aiello. What do you want to know? Anything.
Anything.
It's anything open, you want to know.
Open
forum.
It's open book.
And the PR people just passed out.
This could be a top secret, but are you guys working on next year's theme and icon? Could you give me, like, you know, a little clue on next year's theme?
I don't know. Can I? No, I can't. Actually, we are working on Halloween 2009 and 2010. In fact, we spent most of today working on the maze content for 2009. All I can say is, you know, after Carnival of Carnage, we were really concerned how we were going to top ourselves because the new line characters were so cool.
Another dream come true.
Yeah, and, you know, working with those characters that we grew up with. And we hit upon this year's event, and we just kept going and going, and it seems like it's worked. People are really enjoying it. So then we were stuck with the idea of, okay, what if we topped ourselves again? And then we came up with a pretty cool idea that I guess the best way I could say one word about it, couldn't I?
Sure.
Let's just say Halloween next year, Halloween 2009, will go down as being classic.
Can't wait. I always think of the 2010.
Now that doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means, but
yeah, but you guys just missed it. You just had the whole room of us sitting here just doing little dances and the.
Oh, that's awesome! I hope.
And by classic, I mean Shakespearean.
Oh,
The Bard.
Halloween Horror Nights 2009. The Bard's Revenge.
To be or not to be.
Jed. Thou dost protest too much. Here's my chainsaw.
I always wondered, how do you guys know when you've hit upon the idea? I mean, how many ideas go through the pipeline before you actually hit on the one that you're going to use? It looks like a lot.
You know, it's funny. I don't think there's any, like, there isn't a specific way or a formula to this. It's us pretty much sitting in a room and just throwing stuff at a wall and kind of seeing what kind of sticks. But I tell you what, at the same time, when something that we come up with hits, it really does. And you can almost say, okay, we'll move that to the box that's going to be exactly what we're going to do.
You can just know the light bulb just comes on,
yeah,
and you all know.
Pretty much, if there's a consensus in the room, we all kind of go, huh, there's something there. Usually it's just a kernel of an idea, and it takes some time to kind of, you know, put it in the microwave and pop it. But
great metaphor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
That's going to haunt you.
I know it is. but yeah, I mean, when you know you've got a good idea, you kind of know it. And on the same respect, when you know you've got a bad idea, you kind of know it too. Well, there'll be stuff that will come out of our mouths. It'll be like, as soon as we say it, we go, oh my God, I can't believe you've just said that.
Example?
Wow. There's a lot of those.
Well, this was based on food.
Hey, Aaron, did you have any other questions for the Michaels?
Actually, I just wanted to, you know, make a comment about this year's event. It was really good and everything, and the shows were great. And I'm not sure about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You guys got to, you know, take that away soon because, like, you know, I heard there was complaints about how it was too sexual last year. But, you know, no problem with me. I love the movie. But, you know.
We're not hearing anything that you say. We're sorry.
And God to let there be.
You know, hey, let me, Aaron, do you like the Rocky Horror Picture Show or do you not like it? Aaron?
Actually, he dropped off.
Seriously. That's a good point, though. You know, Rocky Horror, I think it fits perfectly within the brand of Halloween Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we look at things like what's the most diverse evening we can present. And Rocky Horror, just like Bill and Ted, those are the treats and trick-or-treat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, it's not for everyone. People ask me about Rocky Horror all the time, like, oh, is that? It's like, look, do you like the Rocky Horror Picture Show? Yeah, I love it. Then you'll like the show.
Yeah.
Do you not like it? Then you probably might want to skip it.
I actually have a question for you guys. Actually, it's from Brooke here. Well, I'm over here by
hey,
the
Brooke.
Microphone.
Hi, Brooke.
She asked.
So you're Brooke's mouthpiece?
Yes.
Okay.
She wanted to stand up and be here.
Okay.
But she wanted to ask, what does it take to judge what gender your icon will be? Would it be better as a male or a female? And, like, is there any, like the caretaker, you know, mm-hmm. he's an old guy, he's a storyteller, he's an old woman, I don't know if that was based on Mary Shaw or anything. Or, but, like Bloody Mary, it makes sense, it's the legend, but what does it take to think up what gender is scarier?
You want that one?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Tell you that right now.
There isn't a lot of thought into whether it's going to be a guy or a girl. I mean, pretty much whatever kind of fits at the time. Obviously, we've always been fascinated with urban legends, and of course we send out polls to see what the most prominent urban legend was, and Bloody Mary came in at number two, and just so happens she was a girl. So it kind of works out that way. But gender really doesn't come into play. What we look for is what's going to be the most intense and terrifying thing that we can present. That's number one. And then everything else kind of follows through after.
So what was number one?
Number one urban legend was Amityville Horror. And we didn't feel like we could.
What did the kidney thieves fall in that one? That's my favorite.
Oh, 50s. Actually, it was in the 50s.
It was actually there. Wow.
Oh yeah, no, you'd be everything from the, you know, the stuff like the hook on the on that door handle to the blood on the roof to all of that stuff to Candyman to all of those things. But number two was Bloody Mary across the boards from teenagers all the way to people well in their 60s that were polled. So we knew, oh, okay, well there's something there, and then you know. We love the idea. I can speak for myself. I love the idea that Mary, you know, that it's a female icon and that we've made it, you know, frightening and accessible to people, and it's really kind of freaking them out.
The actress you've got playing her is really, really good.
Well, you know,
watching her over and over again on the big screen outside, and she does a really good job.
You look at just what's in popular culture, and there really aren't in the horror genre. There aren't a lot of strong females. There really aren't. You know, other than The Exorcist, which was more of a victim than a than someone. She was a victim of her circumstances. So when we hit with Bloody Mary, the fact that we could make a female icon that really freaked people out, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Another thing that was cool, too, is that her backstory is, you know, not, I wouldn't say unknown, because if you go online, you can find several different variations on who Bloody Mary was. But that was the other thing that was very helpful in the fact was that her backstory was something that we could kind of create from scratch. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I really appreciate. It's original, and honestly, out of all the random backstories there are in Bloody Mary, from car accidents to the Queen of England, this is the coolest one I have ever heard. And
well, that guy right there wrote the whole thing. So.
It was fun. And that's that guy is Mike Aiello. That one.
We went into it this year. I was like, I've done enough icons. It's time for Mike Aiello to do a couple.
Yeah, I've got one now. So
yes,
now I'm good. I'm good.
And a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, it worked out well. In fact, I just got the music box that PR sent out. I just got one for my office now. It's really freaking cool. And it goes off. I don't know if you know this. It goes off intermittently.
Yeah.
It freaked me out the other day.
Yeah, I had to take it out of the house. I took it home because, you know, those things are highly sought after, apparently.
Yeah.
So I took it home, and I'm like, oh, I'm not keeping this in my office. And then in the middle of the night, the thing went off, and my wife's like, what is that? And I'm like, I'm sorry. She's like, well, that's going away.
All right.
All she needs to know now is how much it went for on eBay, and then she'll take it. That'll be the new wood floor in the kitchen or something.
All right, we have another caller here. Let's go to the 561. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hi, can you hear me?
Can hear you absolutely fine. What's your name, boss?
I'm Will, better known as Dinosaur Pirate on the Vault.
Dinosaur Pirate. Arg.
I think you're here at the event, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here on my cell phone, so it's kind of...
He's in New York, I think.
Yeah, I'm right near the DeLorean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, run over to Asylum in Wonderland and come right over to the...
That's a long way to run,
dude. Hey, we've got an hour to kill. We'll still be here when he does.
All right.
But, no, do you have any questions for us? Michael, I'm sure you
do. Yeah. Well, I was wondering if you, all right, well, I'm a... How would you go about, to become part of A&D? How would you go about, to even get your foot in the door? So to speak.
You know, that's a great question, and I have to tell you, as many nights as we come out to enjoy the event and the fruits of our labors, that is the one question that we get over and over. If we get emails, that's the question. And I wish there was an easy, concise answer to it. I guess the best way to answer is just talk about our background, how we both got into this. I started out as a performer and had a theater background. I have a degree in theater, a Bachelor of Fine Arts, and learned everything there was to learn, stagecraft, theater arts, theater history, how to perform, and I, you know, also, someone's getting scared.
Dude, I love that. It's so good.
And then I was a performer for years and years and came to Orlando on a contract for a show I was doing and auditioned at Universal with one of the Ghostbusters. And then next thing I know, they had this little thing called Halloween Horror Nights. And because I was passionate about Halloween and I got the right to do it, they said, hey, you wanna take care of some of this stuff? And I was like, absolutely. So I guess for me, I don't know what Michael said, but it's just having passion for what you really like to do and what you believe in and being prepared. You know, prepared 75% of it. Then you can flip it sometimes.
Personally, I'm a film student at Full Sail University.
That's a great way to start.
Another question I had was in regards to how you came up with the idea for Bloody Mary, her backstory, actually. Like, because I know you guys, like, you know, Bloody Mary really doesn't have much of a backstory on her own. So you guys were able to mess around with that. But, like, how did it come about to her being a psychiatrist? Was it like you had two different ideas? Like, you had Bloody Mary, and then one of your other ideas was a crazy psychiatrist, and you just decided to combine them?
Yeah, it was, this is Mike Aiello. This was, it was an amalgamation of a lot of different things going into it. Her backstory actually came about us trying to figure out what kind of house we were going to do. And it started out there, and then it kind of exploded once we knew we were going to do almost the entire website centered around that backstory. But the psychiatrist thing kind of just was one of the first things we kind of thought of. And it was kind of a neat idea. It's kind of...
He's by the schoolhouse now. You can hear him. He's coming this way.
Yeah.
He's coming to get us.
But yeah, it's just it kind of all fell together.
I am sorry about all that noise in the background. But I just saw a Tweedle. I just saw Tweedledee and Tweedledum with somebody chasing somebody. So good.
Yeah, no doubt looking in the audience. Do you see the Cheshire Cat yet?
I'm sorry. It's really hard to hear you guys right now.
He's trying to get her.
Oh, there you guys are. There you guys are.
Hey.
How you guys doing? What's that? I got it.
It's shit.
Ah, thanks.
I feel like we're at a zoo right now, and we're inside.
This is what it's like in a seat. That's right.
I want that box. a lot of different things.
Sorry, I had to cut you off, man. We're experiencing a lot of noise and everything, so. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go on with that.
Oh yeah, no, it's just the backstory kind of came together on its own. I mean, once you got again the smaller idea, it's you just kind of build upon it, and that's kind of the way we kind of take all these things with the event, the houses and the streets. You start out really small with this kind of this small idea, and it just kind of grows. And then there's some that start out huge, and you got to kind of scale back. You know, like our flying monkeys we've got over in Path of the Wicked. You know, there's going to be 90 of them out there. It'll be amazing. The entire street will be full of 90 flying monkeys. It'll be amazing. And
that would have been it.
That would have been the entire event. So a lot of the ideas, I mean, event-wide, start off one way. And then, you know, there's a bit of realism that's got to come into play, you know, because there is a budget for this event we've got to kind of stick to. We've got, you know, a nice pool of money we can work with and how we want to divide that up and figure out what we want everything to be.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. All right, one quick thing. I'm sorry, I'm going to put Scott on the spot here. Scott's been trying very hard to get into film school because he is, you know, very passionate, just like you guys are. He's been following it up for quite some time.
He lives it. He breathes it.
Yeah, you can ask this guy pretty much any quote from any horror movie, and he's going to...
Except the one you asked me earlier. I'm sorry, I didn't see that trailer yet. Or the Friday the 13th trailer. Sorry.
Well... You know, we're kind of exceptions to the rule. I mean,
but our dear Scott here finally got in at UCF and is going to finally be able to chase his dream.
Congratulations!
We just got in last week. I'm really happy about it.
All right, well, we'll put us in a movie.
Okay.
All right.
No problem. Actually, we can do that. We can work on that for sure. That's really fun.
We can play brothers.
We can.
Yeah.
We could.
Wait, watch it.
Again, that doesn't play well.
No,
for radio.
Not for radio. No. For all those listening, I just did my best Michael Roddy impression.
And it's good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Wish you could see it.
Fools a lot of people.
It does. I walk into meetings and they're like,
"Fool me, and I'm right here."
Hello. I can't say your last.
Hello.
I apologize.
It's okay.
All
my life.
Bill and Ted, 13. Ah, Saddam Hussein. Great. It's okay. We're camouflaged. Great job.
Oh, yeah, that was 2003. God. Yeah. I look
even
back
now,
on that now and wonder how we got away with putting Saddam Hussein and Obama. No.
Obama.
Oh.
And we're done.
not that one. That's not what I meant.
Bin Laden.
Osama.
Wow.
I can't.
Look, the polls just went down. I hope you're happy.
No,
that's awesome.
I'm for Obama.
Not
even
another one.
And McCain. I like them both.
We're Americans. How about that? Is that safe? Okay.
And we approve this message.
Well,
I'm not going to voice a preference, but I will say that Sarah Palin's a whole lot hotter than Joe Biden.
And that's what you want in a president, isn't it?
I don't think Joe Biden would look good in a pants suit. I really don't.
Well,
you never know. You never know.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Bill and Ted this year. There has been – you guys are very much into the fan base. I mean, you guys really know what's going on.
They're here, aren't they?
Yeah, they're absolutely here. They're taking their time out to talk to us lowly dorks. But
yourself,
wow.
Hey, I don't care how many walls your name
there
has been
is
on.
No there are no lowly people in this room.
Anyway, you're absolutely right. You guys actually really do pay attention to what people say, and there has been a lot – well, in the beginning, there was a lot of negative reaction about the Bill and Ted show. What do you do when you get something like that? I mean, regardless whether it's Bill and Ted or whether it's a house or something like that, what do you do?
Well, as far as Bill and Ted goes, that show is – it's tough to appease everyone with Bill and Ted.
Right.
But I'm very proud of this year's show. I think it's one of the better shows we've done. Everybody has their own idea of what they think Bill and Ted should be. There are a lot of things that go into that show that the audience doesn't really ever get to see. That show goes through quite a few script rewrites. I mean, I think the show that we're seeing right now is like draft 15, I think. That show, it takes a lot of doing to actually once it makes it to stage. But again, everybody's going to have their own opinion about that show and about anything with this event. I mean, everybody is welcome, and they're welcome to it, absolutely. But I'm very proud of Bill and Ted. Sure, I think we managed to put in a lot of things. I mean, you can't leave
Definitely.
That show and say that you didn't get everything, because there's something in that show you're going to get. There's about every movie that came out this year is pretty much in that show this year, and which is different than last year, because I had one idea going into it. I didn't want to do a lot of reality this year, because last year we did Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, and
right.
It was very reality based. This year, going into it, I said I want to do all movies. Let's just do all movies and try and get as many as we can. And
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
That has got to be the best. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but
I'm not saying it yet. No
yeah.
spoilers.
Oh my God. But yeah, Bill and Ted. Again, I'm very proud of it. The cast is absolutely amazing this year. It's a great, great group of actors. And it's a lot of fun, and you got to go in wanting to have a good time. And if you have an expectation of something going in, you know, you got to kind of put that aside and just kind of go along for the ride, which a lot of people have. I mean, for every person that comes to me say they didn't like it, there are three that come to me saying they did.
And you've got final say on the script. You're the buck stops with you.
Yes and no.
Oh.
Again, that show is interesting as compared to a lot of the other shows we do here. We don't own any of the characters that we are parodying in that show. Only way we have those characters in the show is because we are covered legally through parody argument.
Awesome.
And every one of those characters is looked at individually on how we're being covered parody-wise. I do legal documents that state this is the parody of this character. Mm. And that's the only way we can get away with using the characters we have. So there's a tremendous legal aspect to that show that comes into play before anybody, any guest ever sees it.
Comedy is hard, folks.
Oh, yeah, but it's also very fulfilling. I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, the show is very funny. I love this year's show, and I've gotten a lot of great feedback. I've got a lot of great feedback on either end, which I take everything. Every year – I'm working on next year's right now. I mean, you know, there's things I know that are coming out that we're going to try and touch on. But, again, that's a dream show to do because I grew up with this event. I've been to this event every year since it started. As a park guest and acting in that show as well as writing it was always a dream of mine. And actually Roddy's the one that kind of got me in the door, you know, in 2002, to get my foot in the door to do what I am doing right now. So, I mean,
so it's all your fault.
It's all his fault.
You did it.
Yes. That show has been good since 2000. I'm just saying. Now, what's funny is we actually joke about this, is that anytime there's a change of the guard, so to speak, you know, I didn't invent that show. Mike didn't invent that show. There's a guy that was before us that didn't invent that show. Somebody that, you know, we don't even really remember had an idea way back when in 90-something, 93.
Yeah,
to bring those guys to the park, and we're grateful they did. You know that
92,
show 92. That show is it's a rare thing that, you know, one thing that's funny to me is that as the years progress, YouTube is not our friend. YouTube is quite the challenge these days, because you know we go on later that night and it's like, oh look, there's the show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Let's just say with the amount of stuff that's been cut out of that show since before it even opened, I could write three shows.
Yeah,
the amount of stuff that's been cut out of the show before anybody's ever seen it. But that's the nature of the show. You know, it is a dream show to do because who gets to play with those?
Yeah.
With those characters.
Well, you said it wasn't the show didn't originate with you guys. Are you married to it? Is there any chance at all we might see something else besides Bill and Ted?
I don't think so, because here's the funny thing about Bill and Ted. Of course, those movies came out in 89 and 90, I believe, were Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey.
Don't forget the short-lived TV show.
Oh, God. Oh, and the animated series.
And the animated series.
Which I have the action figures in my office.
Who gave those to you?
You did.
I know. awesome.
But excellent. Oh, okay. All right.
Totally.
Those are awful.
I know. two middle-aged white guys. That's like Bill and Ted would be today.
Yeah. But Bill, it's funny. Bill and Ted is, there are people that know those characters from the movies. But there's a huge demographic that only know those two guys from this show.
Right.
So, you know, when people say, are they still relevant? I tell them, yeah, because there's a whole group that only knows Bill and Ted from the little Halloween show we do every year. You know?
I don't think anyone knows where Alex Winter is right now.
Yeah.
Actually,
Alex Winter,
he was on – he did an episode of Law & Order.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
and, you know, what's funny is we just met a guy at there was an event this past weekend. And a friend of ours, actually, who was in from L.A., and he's now repping Alex Winter and said he was going to bring him in here next year to the park.
Yeah,
which
nice.
He just says he's really terribly shy, and that whole thing is so not him.
I loved him in Freaked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like him. It's a great film.
The last time I heard of him, I believe he was directing a Butthole Surfers video, and that's the last I ever...
Oh, wow. Well, actually, there's the Ben 10 live-action movie that came out on Cartoon Network. He directed that.
I remember that.
Yeah. Which one?
Benton.
Oh, I think you said Benson, like the Robert Keel. The Benson movie, out in 2009.
You know what's funny? There was right now there's people calling in going, why are we talking about Alex Winter's career?
Sorry.
It could be Keanu, though. I mean, you know, the day the Earth Stood Still is coming. That's going to be something.
Yeah.
Well, something. I like that. It's going to be something.
Oh, God, too. Check it out. The Earth is still. The Earth is still.
Someone was saying on the chat something about Legendary Truth, which Brooke over there, who's right in the room.
Why don't you just come
there's Brooke.
Okay, well, she's shy. We're both part of the collective, and we want to know, like, what's the deal? Like, I'm confused. I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm looking all around for information.
Of course
I look on the vault, because so tell me all the answers, and we'll figure this out.
Okay.
You look surprised now.
Here's the thing. There is something called collective, what is it, legendary truth.
Legendary truth, the collective.
In all fairness, and I'm looking you guys in the air, the eyes, and nobody can see us. We really have no idea what that is. I don't even know if it's our own company. I really don't. Now, I'm not saying that it's not, but we have not been looped into any of that. So we really, what we know comes from the web boards.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know where it came from. If it's viral marketing, it's brilliant. But honestly, I have no idea what that is. I wish I did. And I, my right hand.
Scout's Honor, right?
Scout's Honor.
It's underground, man. It's underground.
I hear it's cool.
Short answer, we don't know.
We don't know.
Look, do we know anything about the collective after being in it for about 2 weeks? Oh, there you go, the arm shrug. We're still confused. So.
Well, what is it?
I don't know.
Well, you've been in it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've been in it. Wait,
that's like my first marriage.
Oh.
I'm in it for 2 weeks. I don't know what it is.
Well, we without my snare drum. And then from there, we were just looking for stuff that was in a room that we had 3 seconds to look at, or 3 minutes, depends on how long you were in there.
Yeah,
no,
what room?
GPS coordinates on the site, right? And it's time to be in a certain
garden
place.
Of Allah.
Yeah.
In the garden to eat.
A GPS? They gave you GPS coordinates?
They're giving out latitude and longitude. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And Google Earth was as busy as it's ever.
What are you guys, like mariners? How are you supposed to find that?
Well, actually,
they do it. They're hardcore.
Well, what is it supposed to be?
You talk about it. I don't know.
Well, it's like a... It's a
if anybody knows what the Legendary Collective is, please call... Or no, Legendary Truth, call in.
I did everything that was, like, there is to do. The first day you get your little credential lanyard thing... by the Gal Navala, and then they did that like last Thursday, and then they did it again on Sunday for the people that missed it on Thursday, and then they did it another day where like they had us running around. What the first thing?
This is a secret society that we're doing. In case you missed it the last time, the secret society's doing it again this Sunday.
They just like gave you hints on the website saying you needed like a CRO or something, which is somebody that you can like call for internet access. And then, like, we went, like, they had to call you between, like, 7 and 8 or something. And then they're like, go by Louise. And then we went by Louise. And then there was, like, a little person with, like, a trench coat with a flashlight. He was like, oh, there's paranormal activity.
A little person?
Not a little person. I just meant, like.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, okay. It's kind of funny, though. A little person in a trench coat.
Dragging along.
Well, I guess the only thing we tell you is stick it out. Because it's definitely leading to something.
Yeah, I guess.
Something big in a trench coat, probably.
Oh.
Oh.
I know.
I'm sorry.
He just sent us somewhere else and like told the person to put in like a password on the internet and they would call back, tell you to go somewhere else and stuff. But they said it's not happening again until tomorrow.
Okay.
It's like they said like look out for information on Thursday, but they didn't say what it is yet or where it is or when. They just said Thursday, so that's tomorrow.
We're busy making it all up.
Wasn't there something like this on HHN Vault, or there was going to be, where they put like something in the Sting Alley? There was a number or something you had to look at. And
I think that was
last year.
They made the Ghost of Frankenstein poster. No,
okay,
that was. Like,
but that wasn't us. I mean, I don't.
I always agree.
Is Legendary Truth us?
I have no idea.
I don't publicity.
I don't know either.
Okay, there's three people that don't know what it is. So
stick it out.
Stick it out. Is it cool? Is it cool? I mean, is it kind of neat? Or is it not?
Legendary Truth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of cool.
About
it's really confusing, though. I don't know.
Well,
I'm not website.
Stick it out.
What does that mean?
You gotta
what does
talking,
that mean, that boy needs
to
therapy
do?
Or not? You're crazy in the coconut.
It means see it through. Right. You started it, so see it through.
See it through.
Find out what it is.
I don't know. I kind of just get here, and then, like, my friend's like, oh, so do you know what's happening? And I'll just try to, like, ask people instead of finding it out myself.
Legendary Truth, not for the ADD.
All right, and we're going to go to another phone call here. Let's go to the 407. What's going on? You're on with the Michaels.
Hello?
Whoa.
Yeah, what's going on? What's your name, boss?
Hello?
Hello. Are you there?
Hello, McFly.
He's shy.
Okay, well, I guess not.
Oh, that was
He's sending us his question psychically. Wait.
All right, so let's stray a little bit from Halloween Horror Nights. I mean, well, I guess we don't have to, but what questions do you have?
Yeah.
What do you guys
What
have?
Do you want to know?
Favorite horror movie, flat out.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, oh, wow, like you haven't been asked that 50 million times. Actually, we don't get asked that a lot. We ask mostly about Horror Night stuff. So
yeah.
For me, favorite horror movie of all time is Halloween.
Yeah.
Original Halloween. That's my favorite of all time. I can watch that over and over again, day in and day out. It does
what
not
do you
get old
the
for
remake?
Me. What I think of the remake, I like Rob Zombie a lot. I like some of the things he brought to it. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but I mean, I gotta tell you, it had Michael Myers in it. I mean, it's better than
Resurrection,
and
Michael Myers isn't a soundbite.
And I'm gonna do kung fu. It's better than Curse of Michael Myers Part 6. I mean, you gotta look at the series as a whole. And for me, it's Halloween the original, Halloween 2.
I'm a Halloween
H2O.
3.
Yeah,
oh,
you,
Halloween 3.
You know what? Halloween 3 would have been a lot better if they. You know what? If Halloween 3 was made today, I think the audiences would have been into it and got, you know, oh, I get it. It's a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, people were like, where's Michael Myers? And that movie didn't have a chance. And it's a good movie. It's a neat story.
Creepy.
Yeah. Huh.
Just imagine all these kids getting their heads pulped.
I think mine's John Carpenter's Halloween 2.
Mm-hmm.
John Carpenter's Halloween also.
Yes.
That mixed either that with a close tie with Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Yes.
For a good old-fashioned ghost story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, great atmosphere. And then I like Jaws. That's not really a horror movie.
And My Living Dead for me is my second.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, we got another caller on the line, straight up zeros. Go ahead, what's your name?
Austin.
Hi, Austin.
Hey,
what's up, man?
I got a question. How do you choose the icons for Halloween Horror Nights?
Have you been there before?
You know, there are several ways that we actually land on an icon. Sometimes it's research that we've done. Other times it's just something that really strikes us. And Bloody Mary hit on all of those for us. You know, there have been other years where. I guess we could talk about Cindy. Remember Cindy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We had an icon named Cindy that we were down a path, and I remember it being, Universal is very good about being responsible as far as the consumer goes, and that at that time there were several abductions happening with children, unfortunately, and we made a concerted effort. We said, you know, this just isn't entertaining. We don't want to put this out there that there's a little girl that may or may not be dead, and, you know, is she a ghost? And we just don't want to remind people of that. Halloween and entertainment in general is supposed to make you forget mm-hmm. about what's going on in your everyday life. So I remember in a last-minute meeting, we said, okay, we're not going to do that. We came up with a caretaker, which literally came from a line in The Shining, which was, you're the caretaker. You've always been the caretaker. That little idea was like, ooh, what if it was a caretaker for, you know, the spirits of Halloween, and it was just this timeless character. And that literally happened in an afternoon. You know, Jack happened by, we were listening to a focus group of people that said they were afraid of clowns, and I drew a clown coming out of a jack in a box on a napkin. You know, then that seemed to take off. Mary literally happened, we were talking about urban legends, and there was an article in the paper about Lizzie Borden,
mm-hmm.
and we just didn't think Lizzie Borden was very accessible. And, you know, we said, well, if we want to talk about urban legends, you know, there's one that we're forgetting, it's Bloody Mary. Everybody knows who Bloody Mary is. And they do. I mean, no matter who you are, you've probably been touched by something like you hear, if I go somewhere where there's a mirror and I say this name 3 times or 13 times, something bad's supposed to happen. So we
mm-hmm.
took that, and Mike, really cool backstory around it, and here we are.
Ta-da!
Yep.
What? And the rest, as they say, is history.
Thank you.
No problem. Right. I'm wrapping it up, man. A little bow. There you go.
All right, Austin, you have any other questions?
Nope, don't think so.
All
Thanks,
right.
Austin.
Thanks, Austin. Thanks for calling in, bud.
All right, thank you.
All right, and that actually brings me to another question. Which I completely forgot.
Good
job. Yeah.
You know who the icon that people ask us about the most, though?
Eddie.
Over the years, Eddie. And I think it's cool that people are that fascinated by Eddie. And, you know, you never know. Maybe Eddie will show up some point.
Well, it's only because you didn't use him, I think. It's why people are interested in him.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Eddie had a really involved backstory. Well, he was, man, and we shot a commercial and everything.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about that for those who are, like, not in the know as all of us. Tell us a little bit about Eddie, what he would have been, why he didn't get used.
Well, Eddie originally started out as someone who was a fan of Halloween Horror Nights and just really – oh, look, they didn't know this. You didn't know this?
I didn't know this, no.
Oh, yeah, the original backstory was that Eddie – his name was Edgar, and we couldn't use that because the chairman – of the whole company of that name at that point was Edgar Brockman, and we didn't want anybody to think we were doing that. It became Eddie, and he was originally going to be a fan of Halloween Horror Nights that kind of blurred the lines of reality and loved the Chainsaw Drill team and had disfigured himself. And then it was like, well, let's see, that kind of, you know, and they were still like, well, we like Jack. What about Jack? So then there was the idea, well, why don't we make Eddie Jack's brother? And there was this whole elaborate backstory with that that seemed to be pretty cool. And then the tagline, there's no more clowning around, seemed to stick. And, you know, but that Halloween was, it was tough because, you know, less than a month before we opened, you know, that was 2001.
Mm-hmm,
so,
right.
You know, we kind of had the wind taken out of our sails as a country. I can tell you, Bill and Ted, that year before that happened, there was a strong presence with George Bush was going to be in the Bill and Ted show, chasing Jay and Silent Bob as renegade clones. Because if you remember, that's when it was all about clones and, you know, all that. And we had this whole big funny thing about, you know, him destroying the English language and all of this stuff. And we all just said, you know, we want to back our president right now. We don't want to make fun of this. So we took that out of the Bill and Ted show. We took Eddie and kind of toned him down because we wanted to be more fantastical. Because, again, being responsible to society, we need to make people forget what was going on. And I think we did a pretty good job.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what exactly do you think is the purpose of horror? I mean, there are different levels of horror. There's the fantasy stuff that you're doing out here right now. And then there's the horror that just wants to scar you on a deep emotional level. Where do you fall there? Do you like movies like, I can't think of anything now.
Devil's Rejects,
like, yeah,
Hostel.
Saw, Hostel, things like that. I can't talk today.
Huh.
Hostel, I mean, torture porn in general. Where do you fall there?
For me, I like a lot of the classic stuff. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I do like Saw. I like those films. I like Hostel. I mean, they have their own niche. There is a place for them, I think, in horror. I mean,
you've got a house more or less based on that, I believe. Run.
Hostel
territory.
Hostel territory. Yeah. And you know, there's a huge fan base for that kind of horror. And again, I mean, for me, I go back to the things that I like about horror. I tend to lean more towards the fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Phantasm. I mean,
boy, no more game.
Yeah.
Now you die.
Yeah, that movie's got some gore aspect to it, but that's a trippy movie.
Yeah,
it is.
I guess for us, you know, I'm cut from the same cloth. I grew up on the classic monsters, and then, you know, the films of the 70s when John Carpenter was in his prime and making good films.
The Fog.
The Fog's amazing.
Oh,
it's one of the
yeah.
most amazing. You know, Carpenter had a hell of a run with Assault on Precinct 13, Halloween, The Fog, Escape from New York, The Thing, Christine. Boom, boom, boom. No, but then, Big Trouble, Big Prince of Darkness is one of the undiscovered horror movies that's amazing.
For some reason, that shot of the front of the church
freaks people out. It's on Ain't It Cool News right now.
Yes,
Harry Knowles has got it as his
yeah.
In fact, we went to L.A. a couple years ago.
One of the locations I wanted to find was the front of the church.
And we found it, yeah.
Yeah, if you look on our MySpace page, there's a picture of both of us in front of the church and in front of the You Need a Medical Supply for Return of the Living Dead. But, you know, as far as, like, horror goes, I think, again, horror should be fun. Horror is – the reason the horror genre is popular is it's cathartic. You know, you're supposed to go on this journey with these people and survive. It's the same reason people enjoy roller coasters. You know it's going to be scary. You know that even though it's as safe as can be, you're still putting yourself in the mindset of jeopardy. That's the same thing with a horror film, and there's a catharsis that happens that you live through it. And people are better for it. You know, it's preparedness. You know, there's all kinds of psychology about it. And I think horror films are kind of people love them so much is because it prepares them for the one thing that, you know, there really is no preparation for. That's kind of deep. I'm sorry.
Resonate on a deep level. And, feel all the way over here.
And then there's just a good old gore movie, yeah, which is fine, too.
Absolutely. Now, barring Halloween Horror Nights, what's next for you guys?
Oh, wow.
I mean, Grinch for me.
I'm working on the old Boy Who Lived.
Who?
The Boy Who Lived.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Harry Potter.
That's kind of obscure.
I'm Harry Potter.
Yeah, working on that right now. And, of course, and we're both deeply into Halloween 09 and 010 eventually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of what we're working on. But Halloween's always on our brains. I think that's the one constant throughout the year, is that that never goes away. Halloween is always there. I mean, it's funny. There are a lot of people that have jobs here that when they leave at 5 o'clock, they go home and they come back the next day and they're starting their job again. And I think I can speak for Michael, too, is we never leave this job. When we go home, every TV show we watch, every movie we watch, every comic book we read, every novel, there's always something in it we're going, that might be cool. And there's a pad right next to it where we go, write a little idea down.
You know, it's funny as you brought this up, too. I think it was the guy, Aaron, who asked us about how you get to be in art and design and all that. I don't think most people realize that Halloween Horror Nights is not the only thing we do. You know, there's a small group of designers here, but we also work on in park entertainment. We work on Grinch. We work on Macy's, Mardi Gras. That's why we, you know, I'm 22 years old, and I look like I'm 70.
You're 12, right?
I am.
70. I just look like I'm 35.
Although I told you when you came in, I didn't recognize you without all your facial hair.
It's true.
It knocked at least a year and a half off you.
Thank you.
That's you?
That's me.
Holy. I had no idea.
Wait. There you go.
That's funny.
Quick.
That's funny.
Somebody stick some hair to my chin.
Oh, dear.
There you go. There's me. Look, here you go.
No,
you can't
know
see it, folks, but it's hilarious. Trust me. One-man comedy machine over here.
Like Gene Gene the Dancing Machine.
Gong Show.
Gong Show.
Gong Show.
That's entertainment.
And all these other guys are sitting here saying, the what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Know your history.
That's what
Oingo Boingo.
Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up. Well, I see we're running out of time.
No, bring it up. We have 7 months.
There's time for everything. Coming through City Walk last night, we noticed that at the theaters, they're showing Frankenstein.
Yes.
Original Frankenstein. Did you guys have anything to do with that?
We didn't, but I think it's awesome. You know, for people that don't know, come out to City Walk, check that theater, because they do that all the time. I caught a screening of American Graffiti there a couple of months ago. The fact that they're showing Frankenstein, I didn't know that, but now that I do, I have to figure out how to go see it.
And he brought it up. They were actually have it rated PG-13.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, it's up on the marquee, Frankenstein PG-13. That's what hung us up.
Wow.
That's awesome to me, though, because it proves, you know, those characters have become spokespeople or spokesmonsters. You know, Frankenstein sells M&Ms, and I have a theory about what did it to them, and I kind of think it was like the Munsters that made them accessible and funny, you know, you know, that kind of thing. And now that was a terrible Herman Munster. I can do much better.
Better than I, man.
But, you know, I think those characters are frightening. I think there's a way to make them frightening again. That's one of my goals. I would love, at some point before I wrap up my horror career, is to have something to do with making those characters scary again.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike what
Van
Helsing did.
We've got the Wolfman coming up now.
You know what? We've seen stuff from the Wolfman.
Yeah.
It'll blow your mind. It's awesome.
Yeah. So,
it's
fingers
awesome.
Crossed. Well, they've got the right cast.
Yeah.
And they've got Rick Baker doing the makeup work for it, which,
yeah,
you know, that, that's a geek cred,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I love
really
Benicio del Toro. He was so great in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He was screaming, "Throw the radio in!"
Oh, yeah,
think
yeah.
about it, though. I can't even talk. Benicio, if it was me, I would throw the radio in. I swear to God.
Well, I mean, you think about that cast alone. Plus, you've got Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins mixed with effects by Rick Baker, who's won how many awards? 6 Academy Awards?
6 or 7, yeah.
6 or 7. Wow, what credibility.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, it means that they're taking it seriously.
It'll get me out of my room and into a theater, and it takes a lot to do that.
What's that star on the wall?
Star on the wall.
You made me miss.
What's that from?
Come on. American Werewolf in London.
Very nice.
Good for you. Good
man.
For you.
Good man.
Are you kidding me?
I'd never miss you.
Give him a hard one.
What now, was that? Heathcliff? Heathcliff didn't live on the moors. No, but he was British. That's a great movie.
Next time you have us on the show, we'll do an hour of just movie quotes.
We could.
Hey, we can extend it out tonight, guys. I mean, or we can come back tomorrow. So
I was going to ask, how long can you guys speak in horror movies? I don't know if they got a chance to listen to our...
Oh, no. We don't want them to listen to that. That was just horrible.
Kevin Smith film quotes, actually.
Speak in horror movies? We do it every day of our life.
Every day.
There are people that work with us think that we're like a secret cult or something, because literally we'll speak to each other in movie quotes.
Yeah. Well, there is that whole sacrifice thing we do at 3 o'clock every day.
Awkward.
Yeah, sorry.
Awkward.
Mother Ram Sudaram. Mother Ram Sudaram. Shamsubai. Shamsubai. Shamsubai.
Shamsubai.
Only here. We're going to hear it.
Yeah, you guys are going to get treated because we usually don't get to act this way.
Lawn dart.
Oh, we love having you guys on the show, whether it be in just general interviews or face-to-face in person.
And Watch Clark. Do you hear we? Where's that from?
I don't know.
The Thing.
Sorry.
Oh, you're dead to me.
Okay, that's all right. That's okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you get to be dead to him this week.
Oh,
it's a cold, shallow
excuse
voice.
Me. Excuse me.
Was that your Steve Martin?
No, that was Tobias from Arrested Development.
Oh.
No.
Not really horror, dude.
Sorry.
Well, we got a few minutes left. Yeah.
What do you want to know? Come on, we're here for you. Anything.
And we appreciate that.
Anything.
No, you did say that
I want cheap beer.
Before your cheap beer.
Well, I do.
Before the end of your horror
PBT?
Career.
Little Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What? Yay, beer.
Pabst Blue Yay, Ribbon. PBT.
Actually, it's PBR. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Before my end of my horror career.
Yeah, do you actually see an end to it? I mean, do the great Michael Roddy, for God's sakes. Come on.
Wow, could you kiss his butt anymore?
Hey, let me get my nose here.
Wow.
No, I mean, no, seriously. Do you see yourself moving past Universal at all? Do you see going on to something at all? PR lady, close your ears. I mean, would there be something, okay.
Depending on how I answer this question, yeah.
I love my job.
One of us. You know what? I don't see myself moving past that. I don't think Mike does either. I grew up with horror. So, you know, wherever that takes me, I always wanted to make the great horror movie. And then somehow I've fooled people into believing that I'm pretty good at it. Now I have a theme park that gives me millions of dollars to, you know, put
me.
Alice in Wonderland out on the street with chainsaws and, you know, have school children and have Freddy and Jason and all these great things and Bloody Mary. And so I'm pretty happy.
It's a sweet gig.
It doesn't suck. I've worked for a living. But no, it's awesome. And I think I can speak for Mike, you know, we actually get kind of embarrassed when people kind of give us compliments because we're just like you guys. There's no difference except, you know, we.
Except you're on that side and we're kind of like.
Oh, you've got jobs.
Well.
Yeah, you've got jobs. You're employed for a living.
Well, yeah, but there was a time, you know, I mean, just stick to what you love. If your passion will set you on your course.
Mm-hmm.
Be true to what you love and you'll be happy.
And one thing Michael and I have always kind of talked about that we want to do at some point is we've written our own stuff for a while, but we really want to write a movie.
Yeah.
At some point together and combine these four.
So you mean you're going to write the awesomebadness.com movie?
You got it.
Our life story, our rise from nowhere to nothing.
But on the understanding that B-Square's got to get his goatee back and his scraggly beard.
Oh, absolutely.
He just looks weird that way.
Did I tell you the idea I had this weekend for a moment?
What?
Let you guys live, because there was a horror convention. Here's an idea for a horror movie, and you guys can all see if you like this. But first, let me say, HalloweenHorrorNights.com, 23 Nights of Awesome. But what if it was horror icons, you know, all these horror icons that do these conventions, and then there's somebody at a horror icon who's actually killing all the horror icons by using the characters that they used to play. And it's like a mystery set in a horror convention.
I'm sold.
I'm sold. You got my 10 bucks.
You know, you got Tom Savini, who they kill by using makeup on him, or they've got Angus, who they, you know, the silver balls and stuff like that. And all those guys would be up for doing it. It'd be kind of fun.
Well, well, now everyone's going to write that movie. Nice job.
Well,
copyright.
Also, probably being smart at business is something you want to be, and not broadcasting an idea across airwaves.
Well, don't worry. I don't think too many people
listen
to this show is right in the room right now, so.
Pretty much. Oh, thank Well, thank you very much to Mike Aiello, Mike Roddy, for joining us tonight. Thank you so much, guys, for having us. It's been amazing.
Come to Halloween Horror Nights. Come get scared.
Absolutely. Come to
guys.
Halloween Horror Nights. Just
love you guys.
Just under 2 weeks to go, and it's a great event. You don't want to miss it this year. So that's the show, guys. Thanks for listening, and until
Happy
next
Halloween.
Time.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys. Thank you so
keep
much.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Nice. Awesome.
They said Osama for Osama.
Yeah, you were hit with a hit that way.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
I'm fired.
Yeah, nobody heard it.
No, nobody heard it. I'm gonna say it right here.
You
need
to cut that part out.
My company's better. No, my company's better.